Amen, amen. Right there where you are at home, wherever it is that you're watching from, first of all, good morning to you. And then I want to ask that you would make yourself a little bit more comfortable. Take your seat, get your Bible, get your notebook, get your pen. We've got a few more minutes to spend with you on this live broadcast right here, coming to you live all the way from Studio B for the glorious Faith Dome, Buffalo City, South Africa. I pray that you didn't miss earlier today. Earlier this morning, where we prayed for the nation of South Africa, where we spoke even to the prophetic destiny of this nation, and we said, arise, arise. That is the message for today, the title. But also that's what's burning on the inside of our hearts for you and for your family, for your business, for your church, your ministry, but also for the nation of South Africa. And then while we're at it, for the nations of the world. Amen. Our key scripture this day is from Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60 from verse 1 and 2. I'm first going to read it from the Amplified Classic. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and His glory shall be seen on you. Now, there's two particular actions that are required, that are spoken of. First and foremost, it is the word arise. It starts with arise. And then it says shine. Those are two words that speak of action. So I put it to you again this morning that the book of James says that without faith, faith without action is dead. Faith without action is dead. It means nothing. It comes to no avail. So in other words, it's not about just saying, arise, South Africa, but you yourself are not willing to rise up. You yourself are not willing to take a stand. You yourself are not willing to stand for righteousness and to stand for the prophetic destiny that the Lord has for this nation. Arise. Stand up. Develop a backbone to stand. And then when you stand firm in your faith. I want to remind you, the book of Romans says that whatsoever does not respond or does not come, spring forth from faith, is by definition sinful. So in other words, the only thing, the only response to what's happening in this nation at the moment. And I do not want anyone from any other nation to think that South Africa somehow is more special. That's why we're sort of highlighting South Africa today. When even right now, Eswatini is facing similar challenges right now at this moment. And I want you to know, people from Eswatini, we are standing with you in faith. But specifically, we as citizens of the nation of South Africa, we are faced a week that can only be described as one of the darkest weeks in the history of democratic South Africa. The scenes that unfolded on front of our on our television screens is something that we thought was buried in the past, only for it to resurface. And so I say to you, South Africa, do not think for a moment the spirits that wanted to take us out nearly 30 years ago does not want to make a comeback in this nation. But we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will not allow that. We, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will stand. We will stand firm on the Bible, our sure foundation. This is why we fear no wickedness. We fear no evil, for we know that God is with us. We will fear nothing that God has already destroyed. As we even sang that song earlier as a prophetic declaration. What is left to fear? When you know that Jesus is the one who overcame everything. He even overcame death. Why we are then able to look death in the face and say, death, where is your sting? Even something as final as death is not final as far as God is concerned. So I want to say to you, South Africa, you are alive with possibility in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to highlight this one particular portion of scripture from verse 1. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But I put it to you today that the glory of the Lord will not only be seen upon you, but that His glory will be seen through you. I spoke to the team of pastors earlier this week, and I was sharing within the same kind of lines of this morning, sharing from Isaiah chapter 60, highlighting the fact that when we behold the moon itself has no atmosphere. The moon has no way of emitting any light. There's no light source. There's no light actually coming from the moon. But there's no denying that when you look at the moon in the evening, hey, it's shining. But in actual fact, it's not. You say, well, why is it? Because even then, if you look at the moon in the evening with binoculars or with a telescope, it begins to burn your eyes. So how is it that you can now tell me that it actually has no light? It is because the moon simply reflects the light from the sun. And that therein lies a powerful revelation. Is that during the time that this portion of scripture was written, when Isaiah prophesied these words over the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, it was speaking still from an old covenant perspective, where the glory of the Lord would be seen upon them. You see, at most what they could do was to simply reflect the glory of God that was shining upon them. However, we now, under a new covenant that I want to remind you again is a better covenant based on better promises, we not only reflect the glory of God, but because of this powerful revelation from Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, this is why I love what the Passion Translation has done with Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. It says, arise up in splendor. Rise up in splendor and be radiant. For your light has dawned, and Yahweh's glory now streams from you. Look carefully. Darkness blankets the earth, and thick glooms covers the nations, but Yahweh arises upon you, and the brightness of His glory appears over you. You see, it reminds me of what is written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. In the ESV, it says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter. In other words, even that which Niles reminded of this morning from Isaiah chapter 3. It is about us understanding that when you are the righteous, when you are in right standing with God, and I want to remind you that it's not because of what we have done, but it's because we have been clothed with His righteousness through Jesus Christ. But it's because we now, who take a stand for righteousness, you will lack no good thing in Jesus' name. That even when the world is facing chaos, destruction, that the faithful, the righteous will flourish. For you will be like a tree planted by streams of living water, whose leaves will not wither, that you will bear fruit in every season. In a time of plenty, also in a time of famine and drought, you will bear fruit. You will be fruitful. You will be prosperous and have good success no matter the circumstances, in Jesus' name. The Passion Translation of that verse in Proverbs 4:18 says, but the lovers of God walk on the highway of light, and their way shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. But the next verse gives us a glimpse into the life of the unrighteous. For it says, but the wicked walk in thick darkness, like those who travel in fog, and yet they don't have a clue why they keep stumbling. You see, for the righteous, there is only one way. And yes, it is the highway of light. For the righteous, there is only one way to live, and that is faith to faith, glory to glory, and victory to victory. And if you believe that, that indeed is your portion, let your amen be the loudest in Jesus' name. Come on, I didn't hear you. Let your amen be the loudest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want us to quickly look at some very famous individuals that we read about in the Bible. Very familiar stories. Individuals who were instructed, commanded to arise, to stand up amidst the circumstances. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, though you may have stumbled seven times, you will continue to rise over and over again. Failure then is not falling, but falling and refusing to get back up. However, and this is a very, very big however, the Bible does not teach that what goes up must come down. The Bible also does not teach that you will rise and you will fall. The Bible does say in Psalm 27:34 that though you stumble, you will never fall. And so we speak again to the nation of South Africa, where we saw this week that a stumbling has occurred. And we say, South Africa, you will not fall in Jesus' name. For you will rise. Arise in the name of Jesus. You see, Joshua, he walked in the promise of God. God promised Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and the implication of that was for the people of Israel and even for us as the church today, is that if you are fully obedient to the voice of the Lord your God, that you will be the head and not the tail. You will always be at the top, never ever at the bottom. You will lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Imagine the time that Europe comes knocking on the door of Africa to borrow from this continent. That we will no longer be the ones to lend. And then every banker in the world will be upset. Because God will raise a standard. And I want to remind you, the church, that the Lord makes it so clear that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So all of these bankers and all of these prospectors, all of those who've been playing, not only with finances, but playing with the lives of people, your time has ended. No more in the name of Jesus. For the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I truly believe that we are at that point to see a supernatural transfer of wealth. Where the wealth has been in the hands of the wicked, now the hands of the righteous will possess the good of the land. Why is it that Africa has just been plundered and plundered and plundered and plundered? Where we are such a rich continent, in more ways than one. Africa, arise in the name of Jesus. Joshua walked in this revelation that he is the head and not the tail. Above, never beneath. For him, there was never a thing of, hey, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. I've shared this message many times before from this perspective, but you need to hear this again. For there was a time, just after they had captured the city of Jericho, which I might add, they did so supernaturally. The walls of Jericho came crumbling down. It was a supernatural victory. Right after that, there was a skirmish in Ai. They suffered 36 casualties. And then what did Joshua do? He went and he presented himself before the altar, before the Ark of the Covenant. He fell to his face and cried in front of the altar. Now, you would think that that is such a nice thing to do, such a noble thing to do. However, this is the Lord's response. Joshua 7:10-11. But the Lord said to Joshua, get up, arise. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. And so it is that when we see unrighteousness prevail, it is a sign. It is a symptom of sin. In South Africa, even our leaders all the way at the top across the areas of society, we have to repent and turn away. Turn away from our wicked ways. I'm not saying or suggesting to quote scripture just because it sounds good. If my people who will humble themselves, we have heard that scripture so many times. Now is the time for action, to actually do what the scripture does instead of just quoting the scripture. That's the difference. That is the difference. You see, for wickedness to continue to reign in this nation, the righteous simply have to be silent. People get upset when you're a pastor and you begin to speak out because they love to control you. They love you to fit within a preconceived idea, a stereotypical idea of what a pastor is and what a pastor should do. But then there are also those leaders, Christian leaders in this nation, who stand for the truth, who stand for righteousness. I call upon every citizen in this nation to pursue righteousness, to walk in holiness and in purity. Because it is then that we, once we are fully submitted to the voice of God, in other words, we read His word and we live His word, that He will make our way prosperous and give us good success. And then I want to read and share with you this portion. Two individuals. Individuals who were lame. Individuals who you might argue did not deserve for that to have happened to them, which happened. In 2 Samuel 9 verse 1, David asks, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Then the response was, well, there is Mephibosheth. Remember, his name means bringer of shame. He was the grandson of the king. Yet because of the choices that were made by the king, because of wickedness that entered the king's heart, his grandson was now living the portion that was not meant for him. You see, he now lives in a city that doesn't even have a name, where he should have started high. Because of poor decisions, because of wickedness, he now has to start low. His name and his surroundings, everything is against him. He was 5 years old when he was dropped. And as a result of that injury, he became lame. Something that is quite interesting is that feet, many times, is a metaphor for destiny. You see, it's about movement. You use your feet to move yourself forward. Feet are also positioned forward. And so then feet is a metaphor for destiny. It is a metaphor for the future. It is a metaphor of direction where you are going. Until such a time that word comes to Mephibosheth, listen, you have to now go to the palace. You see, it's about him rising up literally from the garbage dump and entering in to the palace of the king. For this is what is written in 1 Samuel 2 verse 8. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. So I prophesy in the name of Jesus that the low you have experienced even this week, this will be the lowest you will ever go in the name of Jesus. That from this week, you will only go up, you will only go higher, and you will only burn brighter and brighter in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you now arise and shine and become radiant with the glory of the Lord in Jesus' name. There's also the lame man that we read about in the Gospels. John 5, verse 1 to 8. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One was there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes on ahead of me. But then Jesus said to him these words. He said to him, get up! Exclamation mark. Pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. You see, for nearly four decades, this man did nothing. He had the faith, but no action. He kept on speaking about healing, but failed to act every time. He could have said that this year is going to be my year, but he still did not take action. When Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? He blamed others and he told his entire sob story. And so I say to you, it is time to stop blaming others. It is time to stop sharing the same old sob story. It is time for us to take responsibility, for faith to arise, and it is time for us to pursue the destiny that God has for each and every one of us. It is time to put our faith into action, and then we will behold His glory in Jesus' name.